You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH.
Hello.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay? I have a new mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We decided last time when we had Spear on that we're not going to do video because my computer's such a temperamental piece of shit that I'd rather not stress it out with anything, like, unnecessary. So,
you want to stress it out with your face?
It can't handle that much face.
No, it really shouldn't be able to.
It's okay. Last time you guys both had webcams and I didn't. I was just like, I'm looking at your faces and you can't see mine. It's weird.
Really? I thought you had the camera on. I thought it was Spear that didn't.
Oh. I think it was both of us.
Now you're not left out.
Yep.
We're all faceless here.
Michael Keane joke. I can't quite make it happen.
Are they still a band? Are they still a thing?
Maybe.
Whoever in the band that Michael Keane hasn't sold off yet. Or whoever's agreeing to play with him still.
Yeah,
I mean, they're enough of a thing where they were just able to cancel their, like, Australian tour, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people got real mad about it.
I didn't even see them when they were good, so I don't know why you'd be upset about it, really. Like, that was, what, more than 10 years ago? That's a long time of not being good, or even a band, to really get upset about.
People confession. Were really just... Oh, let's hear it.
I like Autotheism.
Ooh.
There's a couple songs on it that I like. Yeah.
I saw them open for Dillinger when they were touring for that record. I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. And then Michael Keane fired 100 people since then.
There was one song on that album that I really liked. In Solitude, I think it was the closer. Way better than all the other ones for me, anyways.
I just remember that he went overboard, in my opinion, with the fucking vocoder bullshit clean singing, and that was the only thing in the band that I wasn't down with to start with. So I was like, "Oh, you're just gonna do more of that now?" It's like, "No, I'm not. I'm out. See you later."
Done.
There's a tangent. There was a guy at work who started like a week ago, and he was working with me today, and he's into cattle decap, I found out. So he was talking about the new album, and I was saying how it's got a lot more of the Gollum vocals, and he's like, oh, I love that shit. And yeah, we had a similar sort of conversation where he was like, just saying how much he loved the Gollum vocals. And I was like, I think they're kind of forcing them a bit now. Like, it's like he's trying to work them into every song and it doesn't always work. And
I agree.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of how NL Nathrak or whatever the fuck they've started using those cleans in every single song's chorus, and I was just like, it really loses some of the impact. Same with Cattle Decap. Like, I liked it back on like the Harvest Floor and a little bit on Monolith, like when it was just like a spice, really spiced the music up. Now it's just every song.
I said to him, like, I liked the album, but, like, I couldn't listen to it more than once or twice because the theme just bums me out. It's like, yeah, I don't want to be thinking about that for more than I already do during the day. So it's like, it's not something I'm going to listen to a lot. But he's like, oh, yeah, I completely understand that. He was saying that they're...
You want to see it?
Sorry. Yeah, he was saying that they're touring here with, like, Revocation soon or something. He's going to go, and he was disappointed that there's no more metal festivals that are any good in Australia and stuff, and... it was kind of weird talking to a metal fan who's like getting into that stuff at this point in time. I don't know, but it was good just not working with a complete fuckhead. So yeah, that was pretty cool. That's my day. he'll probably quit next week when he realizes the job sucks and everyone else there's a fucking moron.
Someone's gonna ask him about Five Finger Death Punch and he's just gonna leave. It's gonna be it.
Most of my work is like old rockers, like they're sort of just like kind of a lot older, or they're either 40 to 50 years old and into, like, you know, they were into Guns N' Roses and shit like that back in the day, or they're really young and they're just into incomprehensible screamo shit that I just like go fuck off. I don't want to talk about music with you.
We were looking at a lot of that on Toilet Discord. Wait, like, have you guys heard of Design the Skyline?
No.
Please.
It sounds like a bad sci-fi movie. Is it a bad sci-fi movie?
No, it's a bad band.
Sci-fi band.
Design the Skyline. I'm gonna just. You guys need to see this. You know, at your own discretion, view this when you want. You'll never want to. But
I'm with Kit. It sounds like, I bet you if I search it on Letterboxd, I'll find a movie from like 2012 starring like Scott Kahn and I don't know, some other C-grade piece of shit who's like trying to do their own action sci-fi movie.
It's too late. I'm linking it to both of you on Facebook. Can you need to watch it and report back to me, please? Please do this for me. Please.
Next week.
Yeah. Not right now. It's too late.
So yeah, if you haven't guessed, we've got a guest in this week. As we did, we didn't have an episode last week. We missed a week because of bullshit bushfires and, you know, just circumstances suck. So
cataclysms.
Yeah, basically, we've got Roldo Rathis in to give us his five tracks of the year. I've probably made that the title already, so you've probably guessed that. So this is all superfluous information. But
this is my second introduction.
Yeah, he's going to come in and give us five of his favorite tracks of the year. Pretty diverse sort of list relative to what me and Kit normally play. But actually, there's a couple of songs that we have played on here, or a couple of bands that we've played anyway. Like, we'll get to them later. What have we got first? Essence of Datum?
Damn.
This is one Belarusian. That I haven't heard.
Yeah, they're Belarusian, so maybe that's why, because I've only heard of that place like twice in my whole life. But yeah, they're a duo, just a drummer and a guitarist, and they have like this a pretty talented bassist who they didn't give any recognition to like on the Bandcamp for this release. So it's like, is that a guy? Like, there's a bassist and it's not a machine. It's like, it's not programmed. It's just like a talented man who didn't get any credit. So I don't know what else to say about
that. He's like the opposite of Rex Brown.
I don't think word for it.
Sorry, Rex. That was a good burn.
Fuck Rex. <Yeah. laughs>
So the song that I picked is the second one on their new album, and it's called Shikari Algorithm, but in my mind, my corrupted puddle of a brain just says Shakira Algorithm time.
No, it does.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where everyone's mind goes.
Yeah.
But
I put it on and I didn't like note which track you'd picked. I was like, oh, I'll do the thing where I try and listen to the album in full. And the first track, I was like pretty apprehensive because the whole time I was listening to it, I'm like, I feel like some Trivium sort of vocals are going to bust out in a minute. And I'm just waiting for it. And then track two started and it was like a massive relief because A, the vocals that I thought I wasn't going to like didn't happen. And the music like changed into almost like the chasm kind of stuff, like the note choices and galloping sections. And I was like, it was very relieving. And I was like, yeah, okay, this rules. I like this. I don't have to worry about... is the whole thing instrumental? I listened to the first three tracks.
They have like three or four albums and nary a word to be found.
Excellent.
So it's like... I'd say it's tech death, but kind of mellow death, and it's all instrumental. And it kind of like... the most melodic parts of it kind of remind me of... just I'm sorry, I'm gonna throw some people off here, but like mid-era Arch Enemy, but without the super super cheesy parts. Like, it's got a bit of fun, it's fun to listen to, but then it also has like, I mean, extreme metal is fun to listen to as well, but it's got that intensity that Arch Enemy never dreamed of having. Yeah. So it hits like It's got a little bit of everything. It's fun. It's got like some pretty brutal like death metal riffs, and it's got some black metal atmosphere. So it's just it's really entertaining, and people have been telling me, like, you know what this album needs? It needs vocals. And I'm just like, no, please don't fucking do that. Yeah. Don't do that.
More bands should remove vocals.
Yes, I agree.
There's maybe a band that we'll play later on that I think should remove vocals, but we'll get to that later.
Are you talking about the Odious?
I agree with the where you said it was a there's a kind of a techish influence sort of going through there. It's not overly technical, but there's, you know, they know their shit and they're pretty tight. So what you said, it was just a guitarist and a drummer.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'd not heard of them before. So the album was called, was it Spell Crying Machine? I saw the cover has like a skelly bird on there, and I was like, I wonder if he's trying to say something about last week, because we had what did Spear play? It was something about
killing birds dead, and yeah, owls and
you, dead birds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it, Spear. All right, just payback.
No more Owl Crusher.
This is what you get.
So yeah, we'll play Essence of Datum and Shakira Algorithm. Yeah.
The riffs don't lie. Sorry, had to say it.
That was Essence of Datum, Shakira, Algorithm. Next we're going to play a track from an album that we played, what, I don't know, 14 episodes ago or something. I don't know if it's the same track because I can't fucking remember shit. But
is it only 14?
I don't know, man.
I've smoked and drank since then. Who knows? Time's horseshit. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so we've already talked about this. We can put our feet up, and if people want to hear our thoughts about it, they can rewind to whenever. But now we're just going to hear what Roldo reckons about Verkalak.
All right. Yeah. Well, if it's just up to me, then you guys should probably just roll the song because no one wants to hear me blab about this. Just kidding. Okay, it's called my favorite song on it is I'm gonna pronounce these words. They're definitely words. Mask Alleged. Of Obsequious Venality.
It's kind of the title track, hey?
Yeah, it's like, well, they didn't want to call the album this amount of bullshit words, so they just like truncated it. They were like, okay, we're gonna take the mask part and then fuck the rest of it.
Yeah,
but
that's an extremely death metal title.
Otherwise, yeah.
Jam some fancy fucking words together, like it's fine.
If they didn't just shorten it to mask, they would have been stuck with, because you know metalheads are lazy. They don't want to write out the whole thing all the time. They'll abbreviate it to just the capitalized letters of the first things, and it would end up being like move. So they probably went, no, we'll go with mask. Fuck it.
But it's not M-A-S-K.
No, it's a pretentious French sounding.
Even more antiquated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was this the Romanian band? Or have I made that up?
They're Ireland. Irish.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's right. Hold on. Verkalak is like Irish, I mean Romanian for vampire?
Werewolf.
That was fucking pretty close.
Some mystical creature or monster thing.
Something people came up with when they were high on ergot from rye bread back in the medieval days. there's your History Channel bullshit conspiracy theory for the week.
Love to eat some fungus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so anyways, this... Pat, continue.
I was going to say, if you can get me some ergot, I'll be down, because I know you can make LSA and then you can get precursors from that. So yeah, just hit me up if you've got an ergot farm or an ergot strain growing on your rye crop.
I mean, there's probably some nasty ass mold on something in my fridge, so I can just mail you that if you want.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll get through Australian quarantine. I can't even take fruit to Victoria, so good luck getting anything moldy in here.
Cheese? No?
I doubt it.
Guess it won't work.
Oh, actually, you probably could import if you had a company like license or
cheese
something.
Cheese license.
Yeah, you need a cheese license. okay, so Mask of Obsequious Finality. Basically, this whole album just sounds to me like it's just coated in rust. If you could hear rust, that's what this album sounds like. It sounds like the guitars haven't had their strings changed in like 10 years. They're just rust, and everything just sounds like it's caked in filth. It just sounds like... Yeah, like everyone in the band is just decaying, and so are their instruments. So this song, Mask, it has like pretty simplistic... death metal, slower riffs, not too many notes, just kind of a little bit doomy, but it's just like the atmosphere kind of makes up for, like, the riffs at the beginning of the song are barely riffs. It's just like really slow and repetitive, but like the atmosphere is so thick that the tone just kind of carries it. But they don't rely on that for the whole thing. Pretty soon they're doing like some pretty barbaric sounding like war metal stuff, but you can actually remember the riffs, so that makes it like it makes it a lot better.
It's always a bonus.
And yeah, it wouldn't be me on the radio if I didn't shit on war metal. I'm sorry, but
it's deserved.
Yeah, we've had
war metal radio. Not even once.
but yeah
We'll play What is it? Mask of Obsequious Finality from yeah. Verkulak.
Just say any three words is the key.
We'll be right back. Obsequious Finality from Verkulak.
Just say any three words is the key. As long as they sound wonky and old-timey.
Take the Dimmu Borgir album title approach. Works every time.
You know
what I'm talking about, right?
Flustered, effervescent emoluments. Like, boom.
Blank,
death metal.
Blankment, blankening, blankety, like any... Obblanqueous, like OBS before anything is just like, yeah, that's death metal. I don't know how many words OBS fits in front of, but like, I don't know. It just seems to work out that way.
I've just been looking at the word Verkulak and repeating it in my head until I started thinking it sounded like a defunct Bulgarian vacuum cleaner company. And now that's all I can
think of. I was thinking it sounds like a soda, like a... I don't know. It just sounds like a soft drink, some sort of fizzy concoction that you could get at like a Sam's Choice, like vending machine outside of a Walmart or some shit. Does anyone know what Sam's Choice is? I'm just dropping shitty references all over the place.
We don't have that here.
Good.
Do you, Kit?
You do have bushfires, though.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. By the way, I should have mentioned at the start of the episode, we might... I normally try and record when my son and wife aren't home, but they're scheduled to be coming back home anytime soon, so I've kind of got the door shut in the bedroom, but he can open doors now. It's like the raptor. He can just, like... He'll open the door and bust in, so if we get disturbed by... We got him an accordion. He's got every fucking musical instrument now in toy form. And the accordion is the latest one. So if you hear like a 3-year-old screaming and an accordion, that's him. So, and I won't be editing that out.
Now, you'll have it recorded, and then you can give it a death metal name, like obscure trench of equestrian excellence.
Equestrian?
Yeah.
Horses?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Sorry to bother you.
I mean, it sounds three like words. You've proved it. It's a scientific fact now.
So next we'll play Darkenhold. So that was Verkulak with Mask. Next we're going to play some Castlecore, which Kit and I are quite fond of on here. We've played a couple of Castlecore tracks.
Love a good castle.
This was off a split, right?
Roller. Yeah, so yeah. I included Darkenhold on my top 10, but Griffin didn't make the cut, so it's kind of awkward, but fuck him.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. Yeah. Like, the first song on the Griffin side is 10 minutes long and has like a 4-minute French monologue in the middle of like the same blast beat and riff for like, it just doesn't end. It's just a guy mumbling in French, and I'm like, yeah, and no, can't do it. Can't do it. So sorry to them, but they didn't make it. But yeah, this song is the last one on the Darkenhold half. It's ready for this French Citadel d'Obsidienne.
Yes, I think it means the OBS Black
Castle. Yeah. Yeah, see? Obsidian, obsequious, all these words.
This one,
metal.
I remember checking this out. I've been a fan of the band for a little while, and I remember this one having a bit more of like an acoustic kind of vibe, like compared to, I think my favorite of theirs is the what is it, Echoes from the Stone, came out a while ago, might have been 2014 or something. It's got like a dungeon or some shit on the cover, but yeah, I remember this one. It struck me as like a bit of a change in direction, because they've been pretty busy of late. They've been releasing stuff almost every year, or at least re-releasing stuff, I think. I'm getting a fucking email from them every 6 months on Bandcamp saying Darkenhold just released blah, and it's like, what the fuck, how are you so prolific? But yeah, I did enjoy this one, and I agree with you, fuck Griffin, wasn't good. So pack up your baguette. But yeah, this is the...
So yeah, this track... Oh yeah, it's basically... I think it's like the most grand in scale out of the four tracks that they have. They kind of have like some country bumpkin ass sounding songs on here, like the third track, I forget what it's called, but they're all in French, I can't remember. But the third one is just like kind of like, but the last song is very like regal, and CDs that like they managed to have, it's completely unplugged on the guitars, and they have an acoustic bass as well. It just sounds like, it sounds pretty lush, and they are doing some like black metal tremolo, but and like somehow the drums pop through, and like they're kind of like delicate sounding, and that they're pretty natural. They're not like like brick walled to pieces. I don't really understand how they have so many layers going, and the drums come through playing extreme metal styles. Like they have blasts and plenty of double bass, and it just somehow comes up through the acoustic, and I'm just impressed with how all the instruments actually like mesh together. It sounds incredible to me, and it doesn't sound like this year or anytime pretty much ever. Like, I don't know, I just don't listen to enough neo folk or whatever, but it pretty much fits any mood that I'm in. Like, it's a pretty versatile CD too. Like, it's good for relaxing. It's like nice and calm because there's really no distortion, but it's also like epic enough that, you know, it's intense at the same time. It's just a really interesting little EP.
I know Kit's really into neo-folk. He's like all about tracing his bloodline and Norse symbols and all that sort of stuff. I can't.
Love a good rune. If there's a rune, I'm in.
So everyone can,
but
you can,
yeah,
bust out your lute and mead and do some sort of jig. I don't know what sort of. This would actually be a good.
Do you dance a jig to a lutesman?
You know. Ring around the rosy and like get the bubonic plague and die. I think that's what the popular pastime was.
Yeah. Yep. You go find your finest rat.
You know, before we move on, I need to make an inflammatory comment that you'll both be mad at me for, but I need to say
you
it.
You son of a bitch.
No, wait
till I was that right premature.
Yes. So I like Dark and Hold and this CD or this EP a lot more than the other Castle Core record that came out this year.
You son of a bitch.
You might know who did that one. It's Obsequy. Yeah. So you guys can hate on me. I'll just let you hate on me now.
I'm more mad that you pronounced it like that.
Hey.
Same.
Hey, you know who told me how to pronounce it? Dane motherfucking Cross.
Is that how you actually say it?
Yes.
No, well, fuck you.
I saw someone say it's obsequii.
Who are you going to trust? That random person who you don't know their name, or Dane Cross?
It was Tanner from obsequii. So yeah, I'm going to trust him.
Look, he says it like with Checkmate. An I.
Yeah, it's not. I've been saying obsequii this whole time because I'm a fool.
Yeah, I've been saying it like that. And I also was typing it with that cool A and E that had joined. That weird looking.
The A.
Yeah, that thing. Because it just looks cooler. It makes it even fancier and more pretentious. So I'm like, fuck, I'm using that.
I wish more letters melded together like that. You know? Yeah. Just like. Then there's that weird, like, German B. Like that. You know,
the
that,
S,
like,
S.
Weird B?
Yeah, it's a double. It's a double S sound. No.
I'm sure
someone
Hans,
explain it to me.
I'm sure Hans will just shit on me when he hears this. So I'm getting ready for that.
I have a German friend, and she said it's like, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be in place of a double S.
Oh, okay.
It has like a S sound. So yeah, get mad at me, Hans, instead of him, because I'm saying
get mad
things.
At both of us.
I'm trying to say things
you can
with
get
authority.
Mad at
I assume everyone's mad at me all the time.
It's a good way to be.
Words to live by.
That was Darkenhold with Citadel de Obsidian. Obsidian. I said that with like my pinky raised and a fucking
cognac.
Yeah, like a baguette stuffed down my throat. next, we're going to play another one that we played a track of earlier in the year from Nightfell. It's maybe the $20 spin release that I've spent like the least amount of time with out of all the ones I've enjoyed from them, which I suppose it's not really a slight on them, but more a function of like how many quality albums they've dropped this year. But
it's ridiculous.
I had to go back and re-listen to some of it because I'm like, which one was this again? Fuck, there's just been too many like death metal albums from them. We did play a track earlier in the year. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, you've chosen As Now We Must Succumb.
So tell us
why you chose this one.
The best way. Yeah. So this song is just like, I heard, I don't know who said it, but it stuck with me, and I'm just gonna call it Sad Boy Bolt Thrower. That's like 8 minutes. it's like it has that like consistent mid to kind of fast double bass, and like the production's incredible. Everything about it sounds amazing, especially the snare drum, and I don't know if it's like enough of a meme yet or not, but I really am really picky about drums, and this CD just it's perfect. There's a lot of reverb, little bit of buzzsaw guitar. It's got everything. It's a longer track, it's like almost 9 minutes, but like right in the middle of it there's like this huge ambient section that just has like these really creepy echoing noises, and it builds up for a couple of minutes, and then 3 or 4 minutes is just super, it sounds like it, like it's very anthemic, it sounds like an anthem. And there's like a lot of different guitar lines shifting back and forth, and it reminds me of like 90s death metal, kind of like Anata's first release. Forget what it's called. Shit, I'm gonna look it up really quick. But it just has like this mournful
polls recently. Yeah, I can't
remember. Yeah. Shit.
Someone was mad that it
didn't get any votes. Let me do bad radio. I think that was me. probably me. It sounds like something I would do. Get mad on one of those polls. Okay, so I can't. Oh, I found it. The Infernal Depths of Hatred. Should have known. But yeah, it has like this mournful kind of almost nostalgic sound to it. Just it's hard to describe, but it's definitely sad sounding.
It has a bit more of a doomy vibe than some of the other $20 spin ones that were kind of just filthy.
Yeah, and I'd say there's like a greater emphasis on melody than some of the other $20 spin stuff, but it's a really strong CD, and this song just like the last 3 or 4 minutes of it. I mean, the first half is great, but the second half is just, it's perfect. I love it.
We'll be right back.
I just wish more bands were kind of paying attention to not brickwalling more often. And that's all I'm going to say about production, because I'll just go off for like 30 minutes and no one wants to listen to that either. So I'll cut myself off now.
Do better.
We can start our own podcast about that.
I would. Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me with time.
And you can just like do a really shitty Comic Sans Photoshop job on like a Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall, and yeah, that'd be quite easy to piss people off with.
Yeah.
As long as you don't turn into that Chevy fucking dude on
Chevy Dune De Beer.
Yeah, that lunatic. I've seen some posts from him resurfacing recently. People have been screen capping saying, "Oh, he's back. He's back and angry
back
again."
Back on his bullshit.
Yeah.
Just invite bands onto the podcast and ask them like two normal questions before asking if their drums are triggered.
Are they quantized? Are they all natural?
How natural would you say your drums are?
I was like interested in what the fuck was his problem until someone posted that video of him playing, and then it just was like, oh, this is just absolute hilarity. Like, there's nothing to analyze about this guy. He's just a complete loser head case. Very cool.
It really helps out that he's making that face from like the death metal drumming video from like ancient YouTube, with that guy playing Infecting the Crypts, making that like big goofy open pouting lips face, like back at the camera, like
reading his,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, reading his responses to that too was just amazing. Everyone laugh at his expense. Point and laugh.
He was like actually querying someone on Facebook. he was asking someone honestly about like moving to Israel and like starting like a porn career, like out of the blue in the middle of this conversation about like triggering drums, and I was just like, this man needs help. This is getting really fucking weird.
Is Israel renowned for its
that's
porn
a real
industry
thing?
Like, what, why Israel?
I don't fucking know.
Isn't he Dutch or South African or some shit?
I don't know what he is.
He's alien.
Something else.
I'm.
What it means by quantized?
he's the only race that I'm against immigration from. Just him. Please don't emigrate to my country, Chevy. You loser.
I'm racist against De Beers.
That sounds South African, so it's probably fine to be racist towards him. Hello to anyone listening in South Africa. I don't think we have any fans there anyway. Like, I don't think there's anyone from the site there. They're all too busy being white genocided. So that was a part that I probably edited. That was Nightfell with We Must Succumb. Next we're going to play, here's the contentious one, The Odious.
Dun dun.
I wasn't certain why I hadn't picked it up until I hit play and it all came flooding back to me. And I was like, I just was like, hey, this kind of sounds like After the Burial, and then, but with a bit more like spasmodic Behold the Octopus wizardry, and then the fucking like periphery crossed the ocean vocals started, and I was like, oh man, stop, he's gonna stop in a second. And then I was like, oh no, that's right, I could not get on with the vocals on this. This is the one that I was talking about before. I was like, I would love if they just went instrumental. What did you think about it, Kit?
I announced it earlier and I was right.
Yeah.
The song is Arbiter of Taste. And the Odious, they took like a really, really long break from 2012 when they released Joint Ventures all the way to 2019 with Vesca Piscus. So I'd say their backbone is really technical death metal, but like not like a fast-paced death metal. More the death metal aspect is more in the vocals. There's, well, some of them, as I'll get to, but the guitars are like really, really technical, and they're playing counterpoint like throughout every minute of most of the songs. But it's not too technical that you lose what they're trying to do. It's like, I think it's like old Opeth, where the, you know, both the guitars were playing completely different things, but they actually wrote, I think the Odious writes actual songs instead of like 15 minutes of riff salad. You can fight me on that if you want, but that's my take.
It actually makes
sense.
You're saying
Opeth never wrote a song?
Not on Orchid. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I don't give a shit about Opeth.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm just stepping right back on this because I don't give a flying fuck about Opeth.
I like Ghost Reveries, and that's pretty much where it stops. I like some of their other stuff, but yeah. Anyways, this isn't about Opeth.
I know there's a lot of love for them. Yeah, I know there's a lot of love for them because every single poll we have, they come in the top three, and I'm just like, oh man, them again. Why are they winning everything?
That was only my fault. That was only my fault once, and that was Ghost Reveries, and that probably won.
It makes a lot of sense what you said about how they haven't released anything since 2012, because the core like sound is, to me, it reminded me of stuff that was, you know, late, you know, 2008 through to like 2012 kind of thing. That kind of what are they playing, like eight strings or something, or it's like really low. You can hear whatever they're tuned to is like super low, but yeah, they don't stick to that one sound. They're pretty diverse, and I liked the guitars a lot. It's
drop just F sharp.
Yeah, it's something like that. Hey, yeah, they're the band that I was saying before should just drop the vocalist, and I would like instantly buy this album. So
you don't like the? I mean, a lot of people compare the Cleans to Alice in Chains, kind of like old school stuff like that. Is that the part you don't like, or do you not like? I mean, they do like a lot of core kind of layering with like the gutturals and then like a higher,
I think,
like mid range or a shriek on top.
I think even if it was just the harsher vocals, I would be like more okay with it. But the combination of everything together is just like, I didn't like any of the vocals. I was like, I'd want him to stop. And it became
go the essence of datum.
Yeah, exactly. There's such strong instrumental stuff going on that it's like the vocals are just distracting, and yeah, I was like, I don't know. I that's where I just tick the box. I'm like, yep. Am I wrong? Am I that out? It's like the Skinner meme. Am I out of touch, or is it the kids? And it's like, yeah, everyone loves this, and I've seen a lot of people rep this album, and I'm like, yeah, and I can see why, because it's like killer stuff. But I'm just that curmudgeon fucking loser dude who's like, I don't like clean vocals. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I'm like, once I get it into my craw, it's not coming out. But I would definitely recommend this to people that are into, yeah, any of that technical wizardry. That's like, I don't even understand how you come up with songs like this. You know, it's like listening to Behold the Arctopus and going, what are they even doing? How do you jam this stuff? Or like Cyopus or something, but a bit more song centric than masturbatory insanity.
Yeah, like I think they have really strong songwriting. Just like the way the riffs are like bouncing off each other, it just sounds really pleasing to the ear for me anyways.
Yeah,
and that track, Arbiter of Taste, it ends with like the biggest fucking breakdown. It's huge. And they have support and I think they're well written. It has that kind of like botch, that old school metalcore, like some really janky noise chords. And it's just really heavy. So you mix the noise chords with like crazy drop Z 8 strings, and it's just like a really massive sound.
Yeah, the arpeggios, everything has a nice flow to it as well. Like it all flows together where it probably wouldn't with less deft musicians. But yeah,
yeah.
So what's the title? Vesica Piscis. It's like, what is that? The vessel of fish or something?
Yeah, it's like, I looked it up a million times and I can never completely remember what it is, but I think it's like this. I mean, it's an old symbol of like two. It's kind of like a Venn diagram, but okay. It's like this weird fish bladder thing. Like, I don't. I think a fish has this thing that's like a dual pocketed bladder that helps it like float or some shit.
Oh yes,
yeah, I'm gonna
swim bladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to look this.
That made me. I just think of vessel of fish, and it makes me think of that GIF of the fish tube that they made in what was it? Norway or Canada or something, where they're sending trout like 4 kilometers
get over work the sites. Dam.
Yeah, that should just be what it is. It's fish tube.
So,
yeah. Stick your dick in the fish tube, everyone.
Make sure it's the right end, though. Otherwise, you're gonna get a fish to the. It's gonna have a trout come head first into your groin.
You know that fish, like that supposedly, like. Crawls up your pee hole. It's like called like the kangaroo. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that?
I think it's a legend. Like, I know the fish is real, but I don't think it actually swims up your pee hole. But
no, I think the force of the urine is too strong. You'd have to be like underwater doing like you know people piss in the pool. You'd have to be like down in the river doing it like that. I reckon.
You'd have to be pissing inwards, like sucking the water in.
Some yeah, of us, if you do enough Kegels, you can do that.
Oh, that's awful.
That's why people do yoga and advanced Pilates.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to the Amazon. You know why?
I'm into fish play.
Oh no! This has taken a turn, hasn't it?
Yeah, we should have left it at fish tube.
Yeah, but you guys were right. It is literally swim bladder. So good on you guys.
Yeah.
Showing me my bladder. Biological knowledge. Yeah.
My $38,000 degree pays off again. Thanks, thanks, government student debt.
Oh, don't remind me.
I'm just gonna go cry now.
Yeah, I'm gonna go cry. Some people have it a lot worse than me, so I'm still gonna complain about it though. I'm like 20,000 in debt still, and I've been paying it off since 2013.
I haven't started paying mine off.
Just don't. We're all gonna die. It's fine.
I'm not going.
Yeah, you'll never have to pay that back.
Yeah. Well, if I got a job that paid over a certain amount, I would, but because I'm still on minimum wage, I don't have to. It's awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah. Every year I see my accountant and he's like, "Well, that's kind of bad and good." I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, that's my plan." He's like, "All right, there's no money for you. See you next year." Yeah.
I worked with a woman who had $200,000 in grad school debt.
Whoa, fucking fuck. Christ.
How old was she?
Maybe a year or two older than me. So she was like, back then, what? She was like 28, 20, 27. It was like, I will die before I make that much money.
That's insane. When I went to uni, there was like a 60-year-old lady who was just like a career student, where she's just like, look, I just decided that I like the student life, so I just keep doing different courses, and because I never earned any money, I don't have to pay it back, but I also don't have to work. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like, she just likes being educated. But yeah, it was also kind of sad, because it's like, you're 60, and you're like, I don't know how you've afforded your house, or maybe she married someone who had money, but it was like, how many doctorates do you want before you just like, yeah, I'm over this?
Is her blood type just like Jello shots at this point?
I don't know. But yeah, she was in. I don't know. She would have been in a lot of debt. I don't know if it was 200,000, but I'm guessing she's racked up a fair bit as well, with no intention of paying it off.
How do you even roll out of bed with the $200,000 debt? Like, that's fucked up. Why would you be doing that to yourself for 4 years of grad school? Like, oh my god, that's just awful.
It's a front. It was a money laundering front.
I feel anxious just thinking about it. Like,
yeah, my pupils are dilating. I'm just freaking out over here.
I don't know if you guys can hear that, but there's an accordion man who's here.
Just how you explain how you like your haunted house. Just like, oh, it's my son. He's got an accordion. There's just like shrieking noises in the background.
It's actually pretty cool. I was making our dinner sound like an Italian restaurant the other night. That was like, I don't know how to play the thing, but I was making it sound real like spicy. It's got the letters on it, like, you know, it's got the notes on it. So theoretically, it's like I'm playing music, but it's not just like your average kid's thing. But yeah.
Does the accordion like play a chord when you press one button and like make the wind like crunch it up? Is that how it works?
I was just mucking around with it. That's the like instrument where I'm like, I don't even understand this thing. But after a bit, you kind of like, it's got three buttons for the air valve. So I was playing around with them, and then on the right hand, it has like all your notes, and they're all conveniently marked. But yeah, I was trying to work out like what the go was with the air valves, but. Even just holding one note and squeezing it in and out, it sounds pretty cool. So, catch me playing accordion in a couple of months' time.
Weird Al was onto something.
Yeah.
He knew.
When can we expect your like avant-garde black metal release with your accordion on Bandcamp?
Yeah. I got to think of a nice like spaghetti-themed one-man bedroom black metal release.
This could be your Blake Jed moment. He started off the whole saxophone thing and then, you know, took everyone's money and ran. This is your time with the accordion.